Thank you, brother. That was great. I was blessed with that, and it's definitely my prayer that what I share now doesn't dilute from that in any way. I'll maybe just share a little testimony and some scripture of some encouragement I received this week, and I could say it came about through definitely having a burden, and I think some of what Vivek shared has even helped me get further light on it, but I was just burdened through the middle of this week, and kind of I was seeking to cast it on the Lord, and I found some real encouragement through Psalm 139, and I just wanted to read that and just share a few of the things that spoke to my heart as I read through it. The theme of what I'm going to share, and I'll try and keep it succinct, is definitely just how well our Heavenly Father knows us and how well He knows all aspects of our life. And in the end, I think that knowledge of how He is so intimately equated with our lives, when we're seeking to roll a burden onto Him, I think it can be a help. I think it can be a help to aid us in casting our burdens onto Him and letting things that are troubling us, being able to let it come to a rest, for we entrust it to Him and can find that peace that's in the Spirit. And I can say that was my testimony from this week. So I'm just going to read. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I just want to read some of the verses that spoke to me. Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path, my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. And in those first few verses, just what struck me was just the fact that God knows our thoughts, and He knows them even before they're going to be forming in our head. Like, He knows all the things that are troubling us and all the thoughts that are coming to our mind, and whether it's from the enemy and trying to trouble us through different means and lies, or just even just the cares that we have, He knows them all. And later on in the chapter, it actually talks about God's thoughts towards us, which even Maddie shared on that a few weeks ago, and it was really encouraging for the children. But I was just encouraged to think, like, it's wonderful that we serve such a limitless God. Like, you think about that, and like every single person in this room and every single one of His followers, He knows every single thought you're going to have. For some of us, maybe that's troubling because we're harboring thoughts in our hearts that we should be letting go of, or sinful thoughts. But in this context, I take it as those thoughts which are burdensome to us, those thoughts which are troubling us, He knows about them even before they come into our mind. He already knows it's coming. So when those thoughts come, when they trouble us, when that burden is there, we can just trust this verse to know that our Heavenly Father knows. And He knew it even before it came into our mind, that this thought, this burden was going to come into our heart. And because of that, we can take it back to Him. We can give it back to Him. And I can say that in the way that my Father's been teaching me is oftentimes it's not to give it back and ask for the solution. It's just to give it back to say, Father, You know. I don't know. This thought is troubling to me. And I can't unpack it. I can't solve it. And that was a little bit where I was at this week. It wasn't great burdens, but it was just things like, Father, I don't know what's happening here. I don't understand. But You do. And I can give it back to You because You know it perfectly. You saw it coming and You know it. And therefore, I can give it to You and ask You to help me to. And oftentimes, the way my mind works, when I go through troubles, oftentimes I'm trying to like solve it and say, like, God, what are You trying to do here? And what's the end? What's all, where's the path and where's it going? And it's good. I don't think it's wrong to have the motive of trying to understand what God's doing in situations. I think as we mature, we begin to understand more and more what He's doing and how He's shaping and operating in our lives. But we also have to know that He operates first and foremost in faith. And He oftentimes, we don't get all the answers right away. I was listening to a message this week talking about Paul and the thorn in his flesh, and how Paul originally thought that it was actually a messenger of Satan, so he wanted God to get rid of it. He didn't understand God's ways in all of it, and it said he went to God three different times, and I personally, in my heart, I don't think that was all in the course of one evening. I don't think this was just one, two, three, and then he got his answer. This was a passage of time where our brother, who wrote most of the New Testament, or not most, wrote more than half of the New Testament, was sitting there going, God, like, take this thorn away from me. I don't understand why you're doing it. I don't understand why you're not doing it. And he was perplexed for a period of time and asking God for one outcome. But then over time, God did reveal to him that his purposes were even greater. And the good outcomes that Paul could envision from the thorn being gone and the way that he could minister more fully and not being held back by the sickness and all the aspects of that thorn that he talked about was that God actually had a higher plan than even the one that he could foresee. God had a higher plan of allowing God's strength to be made perfect in his life. But I think the emphasis, or the point I'm emphasizing here, is it was over time. It wasn't like Paul just prayed and got his answer. There was a period of perplexity there where Paul had to find a way to roll that burden on the Lord. And he was asking for relief, but even when he didn't find it, he had to trust the Lord. And in knowing that God knows our thoughts, we can know that he knows perfectly what's going on. He knows about our perplexity. He knows we don't understand. And we can give that to him. Then it says, even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You've enclosed me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. And I was just looking at kind of connecting a little bit verse like 2 and verse 5 and just like, even the little aspects of our sitting down and our rising up, like when I read that, and I actually was really blessed. I read it in the New Living. I'm not going to read it now here, there, but it's like, it speaks to like the New Living interpreted it as like when we're traveling and when we're moving about, when we're traveling or moving about, or even just here, like even the natural aspects of our day, like our sitting down, our rising up, our going to work, our caring for the kids, like, we know this. It's self-evident. I don't think any of you would challenge me and say I didn't, or nobody's going to walk out of here today saying, Joel, I never thought about the fact that God knows about my getting up and my sitting up, my rising up, my sitting down. But I think if we meditate on it, the emphasis of the Holy Spirit here is how intimately God is acquainted with our days. Like everything that's happened in our mind, in our thoughts, the words that are coming out of our mouth, he even knows them. He knows them before they're even coming out. And if they're words that we can say, praise God, he helped me, or if they're words we need to repent of, he already knew them. And he just wants us to come to him and understand that it's even in our failings, he saw it coming. He still loves us. He just wants us to come to him and be able to entrust him and not allow these things to separate us from him, because he just, the emphasis here is just how intimately he wants to be involved in our lives. And it says, you've enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Like, he's trying to tell us, like, he's, as we go through our days, like, he's going before us. Like, in walking with him, we have a promise that our Heavenly Father is going before us through our days, in the difficulties. And I can say this, that even in what Vivek shared, and like the battle to mature and to walk in the Spirit and not be led astray by the desires and pulls and impulses of our soul and different aspects of our body, even in that, I read this and I could see that even in that, my Heavenly Father, even when I make a mess and even when I've erred, my Heavenly Father is still with me. He's still before me and behind me. He just wants me to repent. If I've made a mistake, all he's asking is just to get right with him. He's not abandoning us just because we've made a mistake or charged off in our emotions and then realize after we've hurt somebody or made a mess of something that all of a sudden he's no longer with us. No, he's there. He is there before us and behind us. He's enclosed us. That's a promise that we have. And it's just how, in my heart, I just want to be able to live and to know that in my days and to know that in my struggles and difficulties that he is there. He's laid his hand upon us. Like his hand is upon our life. Those who are his children, his hand is upon our life for blessing and to help us. Like a good father, he is there. A few more verses here. Let's skip to verse 13. It says, "For you formed me in my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." And I really liked what the New Living said in verse 15. In summary, it says, God, you were watching. You were watching as I was formed inside my mother's womb. And it was just like such a wonderful thought, like in God's infinite capacities to know every person and know them at this level. He was literally watching as we were being formed. No one else, it's a place where only God, mothers know what's happening, and we all know it through science and different things. We can know what's going on there, and mothers can experience it at a different level, this life being formed inside of them. But God knows us at a level that not even our mothers, like our mothers, and you think of a newborn and a mother and how close they are, God knows us at an even deeper level than that. He was literally watching as the little pieces of our bodies were getting knit together, as things were forming. And it's just a wonderful promise. I haven't had to walk through it, but I was even thinking of people who maybe are born with difficulties, born with a handicap, born with a disability and things. And it says God was watching, even in that. Like God was watching it. He knew it. He was seeing how the pieces were coming together. And it didn't escape his grasp. It didn't escape his notice what was happening inside that womb. And it's just a wonderful, amazing thought that the Holy Spirit was revealing to David as he wrote this. "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there were none of them." Our entire lives, like when God was watching that, when God was watching us be formed in our mother's womb, he already knew our entire life. The entire path from beginning to the end, he saw it all. He already completely knows all of it. And we can look at that and know that in everything we face, he already saw it coming. We can look at those promises that says he'll use everything together for good in our lives. And we can look at this and say, God already saw it coming. I don't want to overemphasize this because it's not the entire point, but in my heart as I read these things, a lot of it was coming back to the errors, like when we stumble and when we fall. Like God already saw that. He saw it from the beginning. It was not a mystery to him. He knew it was going to happen, and yet he loves us and he wants to help us get up. He wants to help us see him turn those falls, see us turn those stumbles into good in our lives, because he knew they were coming. He knew it was going to happen. But if we are willing to just yield ourselves to him, he is going to allow those areas to be formed and shape us into something better, because he already knew it was coming. He wasn't planning, and we don't have a risk of him seeing these things and all of a sudden abandoning us. He knows them. He already saw them, and he wants to help us walk through them and be shaped and formed into his character through these things. And like I said, none of these things should be new or surprising, but it is good to remember these things as we go through our struggles, as we go through our battles, that he already saw it. He's there all the days of our life. He saw them. "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God, and how vast the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." And I just, Natty talked before and was giving us some of those examples of how many grains of sand are just even in a teaspoon or a tablespoon of sand, or even just on your fingertip, if you stick it in there, you can't even count that many. And David is saying, look at a beach and think of all the grains of sand there. That's how many thoughts God has towards us, to each one of us, each one of us. He has that many thoughts toward us. It should be a great encouragement to us that we have a Heavenly Father that is constantly thinking about us, that constantly we constantly have His full attention. And then David says, when I awake, I am still with you. It's just a wonderful way to, I don't know, maybe I'm taking it too directly, but I was just thinking about that wonderful promise that each day when we wake up, we can take these verses and apply them and say, Father, you are with me again today. You are with me when I went to sleep. You're with me throughout the night, and you're with me again today. I start my day knowing that I am still with you, that I can trust you. I can have that rest that from beginning to the end, you are with me. So I'll just close in verse 23 and 24. So all of this knowledge and all of this wonderful understanding of God's ways that God revealed to David, and there's many parts I didn't read and parts that I didn't probably even go partway to the depth of what God wants to say to us through them. But I think it's good to remember what is David's response? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And it's kind of like, if you think of that, it is, if we say that honestly, it can produce some, like, what's going to happen? If God truly does this, if God truly does search and try my thoughts and expose my anxieties. But I think as I was reading it, I was reading the foundation that word was laid on. He just had been sharing about all the ways that God knows us and loves us and is so intimately acquainted with us. And in that, we can say, God, try me and search me. Because I don't want to be misled. I don't want to be caught in a way of thinking that somehow I'm knowing your very best for me, but reality is I'm missing it because I'm being led astray by my own heart, or I've got other ambitions or other things that are holding me back. But David says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And I looked a little bit into that, and it's like any way, when it says hurtful way, it's any way that's offensive to you, God. God, see and expose if there's any way that's offensive to you in my life, and lead me in the way everlasting. And he's saying this, he's motivated, or it's coming, I guess, in my heart, on, it's built on the fact of all of the wonderful ways that God is showing us how he loves us, how his thoughts are towards us, and how he knows every aspect of our life from beginning to the end, and just all of the things I've been sharing. In that, we can come to him and say, God, I want what you have for me. I want to be formed. I want to be conformed to the image of your son, Jesus Christ. I want the very best that you have planned for me. And in that, I know there's aspects of my life that are hindering that. I know there could be ways in my life that are actually offensive to you, God. I could know that I may not see them, but you see them. And I want you to search me and know me, O God, because I don't, as a Heavenly Father that loves me like this, I don't want anything in my life that's an offense to you. So God, search me and know me. Expose the anxieties, expose the unbelief, that I can learn to give them to you, to learn that I don't have to live. I loved what Vivek was sharing about the life in the Spirit. The life in the Spirit, and it is a journey. And in that journey, we have to go through the refining, the discipline, and the chastening to allow us to be able to, like, what does it say? The Word of God is able to separate between soul and spirit. The Word of God can do that. And when we get searched, when our heart and our motives are exposed, it can be painful. It can be difficult. But if we have a Heavenly Father that loves us like this, we know we can go through these things and trust him and say, God, I want it. Even if it's difficult, even if it's painful, I want you to just purge out of my life anything that's an offense to you, because I trust you. because I'm building my faith and my foundation on the truth and the promises you've shared here. Anyways, I hope some of those things can be an encouragement. Like I said, it was a blessing to me.